Just to be mamshich, in the last few weeks as an introduction to the Yerches Tzadikim, we discussing a little bit about the life of Rab Chaim Cheskiyo Medini, Mechaber of the Sefer's Dei Chemet, one of the great Sfarish Gedolim who lived in the mid-1800s and was nifter about 1905, who brings down in the Sefer very warm words regarding the study of the Yerches Tzadikim. He says it's a sefer Musar Ma'od Na'ala Kulay Oimer Kovet Kodesh V'Toyer Molo Yiras Hashem and Yashvus Hamidus. The Zdei Chemet already at a young age was already renowned as someone who is a budding star, a budding Godel B'Yisrael, and he already received smicha at the age of Bar Mitzvah. And as a matter of fact, he was just about around that age also, he was appointed already as a dayan in Turkey, in Istanbul. Well, it was in his early teens. And in 1862, he prints a sefer called Michtav L'Cheskiyo. His name was Cheskiyo, Michtav L'Cheskiyo, which entails a lot of, encompasses Chidush HaTorah, Shal Sishuvus, and so on. He was became very well known as one of the great goyim of the Chachmei Asfardim, and considered to be a Boki B'chol HaShas and Meforshim, a person who had a tremendous memory. In addition to all that, he was a very great tzaddik. Many of you ever saw a picture with him. He had this patriarchal look, with a very long, long flowing white beard in the Sfarish garb that he had. And he was a tremendous Oved Hashem with great Mesiras Nefesh. It is told about him that he was a particular time that he took ill, and it was on the first day of Sukkot, where his family asked him that he should not go out and sit in the sukkah. It was particularly cold night. Many times sukkahs can be quite cold. Matter of fact, there used to be in Europe people who have told me that they have experienced, we've seen it also years ago, can sometimes have experienced even snow already sukkahs time. In any case, it could be quite cold. By the way, they say from the Belzer Uv, Rabbi Le Belzer, it was a cold night and they're sitting in the sukkah. And the Hasidim were like shivering. It was very, very cold. And they asked the Belzeruf, he says, Rebbe Nishkalt, you're not cold? He said, listen, it says in all the Sfarim that the Sukkah has Kedusha Eretz Yisrael, and it's all the climate is warm now. So that was his argosha in Sukkah. So, by him, the Sukkah had the climate of Eretz Yisrael. It's all Nishkalt. It's warm. So it's said about this Dechemet that his family really tried very much to impress upon him they should not go sitting in the sukkah. But Lamaise, he did, and it had no good effects on him. In other words, it enhanced his sickness and to the point that he developed a strong fever and so on. It turned to be quite a serious situation. And the family said to him, when we write, we told you not to sit in the sukkah. As he said quite simply, he says, you're telling me not to sit in the sukkah in order I should be able not to endanger my life, to live longer. He said, if I don't sit in the sukkah, as if I can't live. My life is key, my mitzvahs. So by not sitting in sukkah, he said, you're not doing anything to better my health. If anything, it'll even endanger my health even more. That was his tremendous Mesiras Nefesh and devotion to a mitzvah. You mentioned that the Sefer Dechemet is a sefer which is an encyclopedic work. It is something like 20 volumes or so. You know, Kalole Hashas goes up Yisedra Aleph Beis. Inyonim that start with Aleph, then he goes with Inyonim that start with Beis. Inyonim that start with Ois Gimel, all over Shas, and so on. And he said single-handedly to put that out, which is only like encyclopedic work, which shows his tremendous bekiyus, highly respected. Also, he prints shuvas that he received from all over the place, which he didn't agree with or he argued with him. So you have the give and take of correspondence. His kever in Hebron is very highly respected, even by Arabs. I don't know today, but in those days they knew who he was. So it's very shy even today by tradition, because it was very, very considered. He was an ishmoifis, whose reputation preceded him all around, even by the non-Jewish neighbors as well. So they were also had a tremendous, considered to be a mokim kodesh even for them. And when the Sefer Dechemet came out, the earlier Bial Rebbes, when the old Bial Rebbe, the Mechaber of the Sefer, Divrei Bino, So the Friedrich Bial Rebbe in Yerushalayim, it's a show, going back early, he said that, it's an interesting thing, says Chazal tell us that when the time that Yidden went into Golus, from the time of Golus, not just the Yidden went into Golus, the Shechina also went with him. If the Yidden are in Golus, the Shechina also went in Golus. So the Friedrich Bial Rebbe said, so if the Shechina goes in Golus and the Yidden are in Golus, he said that the Torah is also in Golus. Because Chazal have told us that Araisa, Kutshi Brichu, the Yisrael Chadu, they're all one. These are inseparable three components that are one. And if the Klal Yisrael is in Golus, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is in Golus, the Shechina is in Golus, then the Torah is also in Golus. Now, what does it mean the Torah is in Golus? Golus means that when Yidden are scattered all over the place. They're scattered all over the place. When we say the Torah is in Golus, it means that the Torah never is scattered. Means it's very hard for a person to have a handle on all areas of Torah. Why? Because the Torah, so to speak, is all scattered. It's a play on words. The Torah is scattered means to say, so it's hard to get everything together. What the Nechemah did was he took the Torah out of Golus, because he brought it out. He was Mekabetz Golius. He was Mekabetz all the various Mamorim, all the different scattered, right, Divrei Chazal, and all the different Yediyahs that a person would have to keep searching on his own, trying to find it here. That's what Golus is, right, to find from all the scattered Mekabetz. And he brought it together. So by putting together the Sefer Nechemah, he took the Torah out of Golus. Forget, that's Kibbutz Golius. They're bringing everything together. I should mention that there's a letter from Reb Shlomo of Vilna. We mentioned from time to time. Shlomo of Vilna was the dayan in Vilna, right, in the early 1900s. Considering one of the Gedoy Lador, his parish is found at the end of the Vilna Shas, Hagoyes Cheshek Shlomo. Him and his brother Reb Tzalul Hakoyin of Vilna, and there was Reb Shlomo Hakoyin of Vilna. Both great goyim. And when the Sefer Zechemet came out, so Reb Shlomo of Vilna writes a letter. He writes a letter to this Dei Chemet. There's also a letter from Shlomo of Vilna to the Matalevi. Also writes a letter about the tremendous titles he writes on the Matalevi, was the Rav in Frankfurt, without getting into this now. But in any case, Shlomo of Vilna, he writes to the Dei Chemet and says, you know, the Pischa Chuv, anybody learned your day, Pischa Chuv basically is a compendium of Marah Mekoymis. If you want to find various shilas relating to the topic that you're learning in your day, Pischa Chuv, he says, I in there. It gives you different Marah Mekoymis to be able to look up. So the Shlomo of Vilna writer Zechemet, you did a better job than the Pischa Tshuva. The Pischa Tshuva merely told you where to look, but the Zechemet not only tells you where to look, he actually brings down what it says there, and then he is mefalpel with it, and he goes on to explain it in full detail. So one learning this Zechemet gains a greater tachlis than merely looking the Sefer Pischa Tshuva. Pischa Tshuva just tells you, you know, just look over there, without going into the subject itself in any detail, whereas the Zechemet really brought not only the Marah Mekoymis but actually also what it says there, and going on to explain it. Not just mention that one by familiar Moshe Bloys, the famous in Yerushalayim, one of the greatest Askonim who lived in Yerushalayim, and there's a sefer called Al Chomisayach Yerushalayim. So Moshe Bloy brings there a Maisa Noiri, he says, regarding this Zechemet, which was about, he says, a year and a half after his patira. All right, a year and a half after his patira, which said he was, which he was nipped like in 1905. So this was like, 1907 or so. So a year and a half, he says, after his patira, there was a tremendous rash that they heard coming from the Beis HaChaim. Tremendous noise. It seemed that some rabble rousers were busy doing mischief, as Arabs were wanting to do. So they came into the Beis HaChaim, and basically they saw that some people started to dig into the cave of the Zechemet, apparently trying to be mevaze whoever was there. Probably someone not even knowing who was there. But for whatever reason, and I just want to mention that in Europe, to this day, there's a lot of vandalism in the Beis HaChaim's, in Europe, all over the place, Czechoslovakia, and all the Mekoymis. That's why you have an organization today called Aviseinu that is very busy with putting fences, but not stamina fence, putting walls, actually like a Choyma. actually like a fortress, putting a thick walls around the Beis HaChaim, which is quite expensive. But people who come, Yotzei, people are from particular cities, see to it to raise money for their city, because they have ancestors, grandparents, great-grandparents for many, many years over there. And many Matzevas are pushed vandalized. That's the situation. And part of the reason why they used to dig, by the way, even whenever they can, because they believe that many of the Mesim had, in those days, was gold teeth. So Maimish, what they used to do is dig into the kvarim to be able to steal. To be able to steal and to remove the gold from the teeth. At Kedekach. That was one of the sibis. That was one of the sibis that would bring them to dig into kvarim. In any case, they saw that some people said, kuth people, unruly people, that they actually dug very deeply. And they came, they called the Chevra Kedisha. Chevdisha came and they saw actually that they really reached Maimish to the caver of the Stechem. They reached Maimish to the body of the Stechem. And they saw that as the body lies down flat, they saw that the feet of the Nifter were not straight, were sort of like bent, which clearly gave a clear, very clear impression that in fact that they already actually made contact with the body. The Chevra Kedisha realized the rash, the noise that they heard was because of the fright and the pachad when they came and they reached the body, those diggers. When they reached the body of the Dechemet, what was the fright? So they looked at the body, they saw that the body was completely whole and fresh a year and a half after the Petirah. So right, so Moshe Bloy. A year and a half after the Petirah, the body was, not only that, the Tachrichim were white, he said, Lovan Kashelik. In spite of all the dirt and all the offer, the day as if it was put in, as fresh as it was put in. And he said there was a Maisa Neira, which went quite far. About the Kedusha and the Gavos of the Stechemet. But in any event, the Chevra Kedusha, when they put the caver back into place, the Rabbonim of Chevron were Gozer a Tainus Tzibur the following day in Sliches, tremendous soy poshet for the Chilul HaKever that took place. And just to understand, this is again another indication about the godless of the Stechemet. In any case, okay, so this is the Stechemet, and being that this is the night of Erev Shavuos, so we should be looking at here in Echelik, we have here in the Yoches Sadikim, Shar HaTorah. Shavuos is Kabbalah HaTorah. The Shar is Daf Reish Chof Tes. You'll find it towards one of the Shiorim, towards the end of the Sefer. Daf Reish Chof Tes, it's Shar Esrim Vishiva, the 27th gate. Shar Esrim Vishiva. Daf Reish Chof Tes. Okay, this is Shar HaTorah. I believe it's very appropriate that Mamish the Yontif Shuas upon us to get some insight in terms of what Kabbalah Satoyah will mean for us and what we hope to achieve with the Yontif Shuas. So he points out as follows, and he says, Bishloishi Ksorim, he says, Nichteru Yisrael. Klal Yisrael were crowned with three crowns. And we're quite familiar with those three different crowns. There's the Keser Torah, there's the crown of Torah, there's the Keser Kohuna, and there's Keser Malchus. Now, these three ksarim are not shoveh b'shoveh. In other words, not everyone is able to attain. You can't be a kohen. You can't have the crown of kohuna if you're not born a kohen. Keser malchus, as we'll see, this refers to malchus beis David. So you don't have keser malchus if you're not, right? If you're not part of the legacy of David HaMelech himself. You're not a descendant of David HaMelech. But the difference is between keser kohuna and keser malchus, which only specific people can have the schus of having that keser. Keser Torah, there's no discrimination. Keser Torah, the crown of Torah, to be zeichah the keser Torah, it's open and free to anyone who really wants to have it. He points out clearly keser kohuna, he says, zocha bo yahari. Regarding keser kohuna, ahana kohen was zeichah that. Shenema, as it says, vahoy saloim pashas Pinchas. After what Pinchas did, the act of kenoyis, they took him for the honor of Hashem, and he killed Zimri ben Soli, who behaved immorally. So v'hoi saloi lezare achrov, he received reward for him and for his descendants after him. Bris kunas oilom, the covenant of eternal kohuna, which means that there will always be kohuna right all the way down the line from his descendants. So that's the maton of kohuna, but that's given only, right, that's given to the Zerah Harid. Keser Malchus, as far as the Keser Malchus, which chelik of Klal Yisrael was zeichet the Keser Malchus? The Zocha by David. That is something David HaMelech was zeichet, all of Asholim. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Zaroi lo'olam yeh. The Pasuk says, his seed will endure forever, which is Malchus beDavid, like we say, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayom, which means ultimately when Mashiach will come, it will be again reinstated and restored. Zaroi Loilamir, the Kisoi, and the throne of David HaMelech, Kashemesh Negri. The Pasuk in Tehillim says that the throne of David HaMelech will be like the sun before me, which means it will always shine. So Kesa Kahuna belongs to Hana Kohen and his descendants. Kesa Malchus belongs to David HaMelech. Kesa Toire Harehu Munach Ve'oimed Muchan L'chol Yisrael. However, the crown of Torah, to be zeichet to the kesa Torah that is open for everyone. Shenema, as it says, Torah Tzivalonu Moshe, the Torah that was commanded to us by Moshe, whom does it belong to? Moirosha Kehilas Yaakov. It's an inheritance for the entire, right, congregation of Yaakov, means to all of Klal Yisrael. Just take a moment, there's a sefer called Maisa Ovis. And he explains, what does it mean that there are three Kesarim? There's Keser Torah, and there's Keser Kehuna, and Keser Malchus. We know always Keser means a crown, means it has to do something with royalty. What does it mean Keser Kehuna? The crown of Kehuna. What's the Ein of Keser? What's the Ein of royalty there? Malchus, we understand. Keser Malchus. Malchus, a Melech, has a crown. And what's the Ein of Keser Torah? The crown of Torah. What's the idea? We have Shleshi Kesarim. What's the role of the Keser in the area of Kehuna? What is the role of the Keser regarding Torah? And he points out there in the Sefer Ma'aseh, and he says that whenever you see a crown right away comes, you think about a king, a ruler. Someone wearing a crown, that implies, that shows that this person has, right, that he has shlita over something. That's what a melech is. A melech who's wearing a crown means that he is shaylit over something, that he rules over something. For example, in the Yom Ha'Noraim, what do we say? We say in the Tila of the Shemoneh Esrei, we say, V'yitnu lucha keser malucha. What does it mean? That we proclaim that Kodesh Baruch Hu, he rules the world. V'yitnu lucha keser malucha. What do we mean by keser malucha? Keser malucha means that we proclaim, we acknowledge that Kodesh Baruch Hu rules the world. So the question is, Klal Yisrael, if they have three Ksarim, it means the fact that you're wearing a Keser means you have a Koyach of ruling somewhere. Because the Keser means that you have a Koyach of Shlita. You have a Koyach of ruling. That's what the essence of a Keser is. Keser shows, Keser reflects upon a person. The person who wears the Keser reflects that he has a Koyach of Shlita. He's ruling. So he points out as follows. In Talmud Chochom, has Keser Torah. He's ruling over something. What is he ruling over? A Kohen, Keser Kehuna. What is he ruling over? A Melech, we know. He's a Melech. He rules over his subjects. That's Keser Malchus. He points out that in Talmud Chochom, the truth is, in a certain sense, does have a Koyach of Shlita. Why? Because people have to be Mevatel themselves, right, to his Das Torah. In that sense, he's wearing a Keser, meaning is that he is Sholit. His word is the letter of the law. He might be a Morad Asra. He might be the head of a community. Or if he's a tremendous, extra tremendous Talmud Chochom, maybe he's a Pesach Hador. In that sense, he has a Koyach of Shlita. He actually rules, yes. He rules. He paskins. And people have to follow. So that's a Koyach of Shlita. But not only that, the Talmud Chochom wearing the Keser, which means it shows that he has a Koyach of being Shoylet, of ruling, not only means that he rules by giving direction to people, designating, showing them how to go, insisting this is the way, but also a Talmud Chochom has the Koyach HaTorah, he's a Shoylet on the Bria. We know that Bezin actually has control over the entire mechanism of the Bria of Derech HaTeva, in the sense that we know many, many times that when Bezin decides to proclaim an extra month, a leap year, so all of a sudden the year becomes extended, merely because Bezin decided to add another month. And as we know, the Gemara tells us, which is a Yerushalmi, Talmud Yerushalmi, which the Shach brings down in Yerudeis and Mekuf Peites, that the Koyach of Bezin changes the physical attributes of a young girl who is a Psula, where B'derech HaTeva Chazal have told us the natural biology is that a girl under the age of 3, if for some reason her Psulim, right, were removed, it will grow back up to the age of 3. Beyond the age of 3, she has no basulis, she just doesn't have it. But up to the age of 3, they come back. What would be the din if a girl becomes 3 years old, but Bezin just when she became decided to add an extra chaydish? Bezin decided to extend the year. So it means that her third birthday will be delayed for a month. Just because Bezin decided, Yushami said the Besulis will still grow back because she's technically under 3 years old. Because Bezin decided, had Bezin not made the extra chaydish, then the 3 years would have been up earlier. The Besulis would not grow back. But being the fact that Bezin extended the year, so now the teva is mishubit to the koyach of Bezin, and this is nafkim in Islam halacha. So this is not some nice hashkof, a nice word. This is accepted in halacha. The shach brings it down. So you see that the koyach of Torah, the koyach of Bezin, actually has shlita, has control over nature. That nature is subservient to the koyach of Torah, to the koyach of Bezin. So avada is a keser. That's keser Torah. Keser means a crown, which means whoever possesses Torah has a koyach of shlita. Has a koyach of ruling. Ruling, yes, ruling over nature. To have dominion over nature. That's the keser. And if we talk about keser kahuna, and what kind of a crown does a kohen have? Over whom does he rule? Well, so the Sefer Ma'aseiv suggests the following. Because in order for the world to exist, we all know the Mishnah says in Ovois, Al Shloisha Devorim, right, Ho'olam Kayim. There are three things, right, that the world stands. It says, Al HaTorah, right? Val Avoido, Val Gemilas Chasodim. So based upon three things, now these are the three pillars. These are the three pillars that uphold the world. Which means that if any of these pillars are missing, the world is shaky. The world is in danger. The survival of the world is in danger. These are the three pillars that hold up the world. Ashloish Dvarim Oilam Oimed, actually it says. Ashloish Dvarim Al HaTorah Val Avoido Val Gemilas Chasodim. So the Sefer Ma'aseiv suggests very nicely. Keser Torah, we said the three ksarim. Keser Torah is Kenegid, he says, the Omer HaTorah. In other words, the one who has the Keser Torah, he is the pillar, he represents the pillar of Torah. That's the share, that's the pillar, right? That's, you need three pillars. So the pillar of Torah, the Tam Chocham, right? He contributes that pillar, the pillar of Torah, the Amor HaTorah. But there's other two other pillars. Then it comes, what's the next one? HaTorah Val Avoida. Well, if you're dealing with Avoida, that's the Kohen. Who does more Avoida than the Kohen? The Kohen does the Avoida in the Beis Hamikdash. So the Avoida is the Kohen. So the Kohen, we're talking about the Keser Kahuna, that's Keneged, the pillar of the Avoida. And what's the third one? Gemilas Chasodim. Gemilas Chasodim really represents the Melech. Why? Because the true Tachlis of a Melech, people make a mistake. A Melech is not to be one, right? For selfish reasons, merely to amass a fortune for himself and to ingratiate himself. Yes, there's a big thing about Kovid Malchus. The tachlis of a melech is that he lives, right? He lives for the betterment and for the welfare of the Medina over which he's a melech. And that is the whole tachlis. The mind of a melech is occupied in seeking ways to protect them. Different melech goes into war to protect his subjects, to protect the Medina. The tachlis of a melech is to contribute for the welfare and do everything to make better the life of the people who live in his malchus. That's the ultimate of Gemilas Chasodim, really. A melech is there to be mahana, the people who are underneath him. That's the pillar of Gemilas Chasodim. Well, so if these three pillars uphold the world, it means these three pillars control the world. Because without these three pillars, there'd be no world. So being that Keser Kahuna is one of the pillars, that's the Keser. That's the Koyach HaShlita. Because Keser Kahuna, that's the Moed HaAvoida, that's the pillar of Avoida. So in a certain sense, the Kohen, right, has a chelik of ruling the world, because the welfare of the world, the Kiyum Olam is totally in him. The Kiyum Olam is totally in the Talmud Chacham. That's the Amud HaTorah. And the Kiyum Olam is totally in the Koyach of Gemilas Chasodim, which really is, that's the true Melech, not the selfish Melech, but the Melech in the eyes of the Torah, who sacrifices himself on behalf of the people. So Kaponim so says here now, the Yochas Tzadikim, he says here that regarding Keser Torah is not limited to any single person. No person has a monopoly over Keser Torah, but rather Keser Torah is open for all. Call me Sheyirtzi, says Yovei V'Yitl. Whoever just wants it should come and take it. Shema Toimar, so maybe you'll say, She'oisom kisarim gedoilim mekeser Torah. So you might say, look, being that the other two, right, the other two are reserved, not everybody can get it, so maybe that two are more choshev. Because Torah is open to everybody. So you might say to yourself, Keser Malchus is more choshev than Keser Torah. Keser Kahuna is more choshev. Why? Because you have to have special privilege to have Keser Kahuna. You have to be specially privileged for Keser Malchus. But Keser Torah could be just anybody. So you say to yourself, no, Keser Torah is a schwachere Keser. Keser Torah is a weaker Keser. He says, don't make the mistake, just the opposite. Keser Torah says, Harei Roimer, the Pasuk says in Mishle, Bi Melochim Yimloichu. This is a Pasuk, Shlomo Melech is quoting as if to say, the Torah HaKadosh is saying these words. The Torah HaKadosh is saying, Be in me, the Torah is saying, Be in me, Melochim Yimloichu. Through me the kings will reign. True Malchus is through me, says the Torah. The Reisnim Yechoikeku Tzedek, and princes will legislate justice. How? Through imposing and spreading the words of the Torah. Be, and also in me, Sarim Yashiru. And also he said, Yashiru. So also he said, through me, he said, the Sarim, is the noble people, will rule. So what do we see? We see that the Pasuk says that the true Koich of Malchus is through the Koich of Torah. As a matter of fact, the Gemara tells us in Mesechtes Gittin, Samachalos, the Gemara says, Man Malchi Rabbono. That who are the true Malachim? These are the Talmid HaChomim. Tamir Chama are the true Malachim. And the Gemara brings down to the Pasuk, Be Malachim Yimloichu. The Torah says, it's through me, he says, that the kings, means the Torah kings will rule. Holomar Torah, therefore, says the Yochid Tzadikim, which you learn from here, he says, Shekeser Torah. You learn from here that Keser Torah is Godel Mekeser Kun and Mekeser Malchus. So, that Keser Torah really stands higher and above Keser Kun and Keser Malchus. But Omer Chachomenu Zechroinim Levrocha, as a matter of fact, our Chacham said that even a Mamzer Talmud Chacham is Koidim LeKoyin Gadol Amoretz. So here you can have a Koyin Gadol. Koyin Gadol is the highest rank in Kohuna. And yet, a Talmud Chacham, even if he is a Mamzer, stands even higher. The Gemara is talking about, interesting thing, in terms of, let's say, two Jews are drowning. Two Jews are drowning. And you're only able to save one. You're only able to save one. So believe it or not, there is halacha, a hierarchy. You should never be confronted with such a problem. But if you have such a problem, you have to make choices. So the Gemara here delineates a hierarchy, a seder, in terms of chashivas. In terms of chashivas, you can only save one. You have to try to save it. You want to save one? So what's the, so the question is, you have here a mamzer Talmud Chochem is drowning, you have a Kohen Gadol drowning. So the halacha is that the mamzer Talmud Chochem is a din kedima over the Kohen Gadol Amoretz. Because he's a Talmud Chochem. So you see here, this is the ultimate, the Raya. Shenema, because the Pasuk says in Mishle, Yekora hi mipninim. The Torah is more precious than pearls. And the Gemara Darshans, mipninim also has a dual meaning. The word pninim means pearls, but pninim means mipninim, from the one who goes lifnim, lifnai lifnim. Who is able to go lifnai lifnim, the Kohen Gadol? Yekarehi mipninim. The Torah is more precious mipninim than the one who is able to go lifnai lifnim. Kohen Gadol hanichnas lifnai lifnim. The Torah is much more precious. We said about Reborach Be'er. If you ever saw letters from Reborach Be'er of Kamenitz, Reborach Be'er, you know, is the great goy, the great Rosh Yeshiva. You know, the great Amkin, the Talmud of Reb Chaim, of course. When he would write a letter of recommendation, or even stand letters, I've seen this in Mechabrim of Svarim who asked Reb Barbet to give them askome. And they were okay, Talmid HaChachamim, but they were not Gedoy Lador. He'd write tremendous titles he would write. If you would not know who that person is, you'd think that this person is really a Goy Noilum, because Reb Barbet used to write great titles on Talmid HaChachamim. And Chaim Oizer once explained, he says, you don't understand, he says, you know, why Reborach Be'er does that? The simple reason is quite partial, he says. He says, you know, by people, he says, general person, what's choshev to them? It's all my money. You know, so every dollar that they accumulate, you know, has a big chashivas for them. Reborach Be'er, he says, every word of Torah was choshev. One word of Torah was him $1 million. So somebody said, "New five block Gemara, it's like he has 5 million. It's five million. It's worth the chashivas of 5 million. Because every ois of Torah was worth to him hundreds of dollars. So if a person, even though a limited amount is a lot, because every single proof of Torah, every ois of Torah is immeasurable. So if a person with 10 ois, he can't get out. He can't shoot shots and he can't evaluate. So the chashivas of that Torah." That was a Reborach Be'er. That's Yekarehi Mipninim. By him, that was Choshev. Chaim Oizer used to say the difference, he said, between Reborach Be'er and Reb Shimon. This is just Agav, I'm saying this. They both came to America to raise money. He says, Rabbah Berry says, Rabbah is a gewaldige Ishmutzlach. That how? That he looks, he says, he looks like a Shlomazel, so people have Rachmanis and they give him money. And he says, Reb Shimon on the other hand, Zogt Nebuch has hard luck. He says, when you look at him, he looks like a gewaldige ish mutzlach, so don't give him money. This is the attitude that people have when they look at a person. Is he needy? Is he not needy? Well, Bel always looked like he needed it. But Reb Shimon carried himself in a way that people said, says he saw a prince of a person. So Eloch Mitzvah, he says, B'chol ha-mitzvah, shishkula keneget al Torah. There's no mitzvah, he says, in any of the mitzvahs, he says, that is equal to Talmud Torah. No mitzvah, he says. Rak Talmud Torah shikula keneged kol mitzvahs. It's just the opposite. Talmud Torah, he says, shikula is equals all the mitzvahs. In other words, there is a posik that Yerushalmi teaches. It says, kol chafotzecho leyishvu bo. What does chafotzecho mean? Chafetz shemayim, what Kodesh Baruch Hu desires. What does Kodesh Baruch Hu desire? Kodesh Baruch Hu desires mitzvahs. Kol chafetzecho, all of chafetzecho, all that you desire, Kodesh Baruch Hu lo yishvu bo, which means, says Yerushalmi, kol hamitzvah is kulon, all the mitzvahs ein in shovis afilo ledover echod ben haTorah. So says Yerushalmi, as great as mitzvahs are, all the mitzvahs together, ein in shovis ledover echod ben haTorah. Many years ago, Rishon Shadron, I believe we've mentioned it also maybe throughout the years, but a long time ago, that Rishon Shadron said it actually here, I believe, in the shul. Although Kalpanim, he might have said it here in the shul, because it's something he used to repeat quite often. He heard from one of his rabbeim in the name of the Alter von Kelm, that he came in once before Shavuos, came into the yeshiva, and gave a shmuz, divrei Torah for divrei Torah. And the whole shmuz didn't take more than 2 minutes, literally. The whole shmuz didn't take more than 2 minutes. What can you say in 2 minutes, divrei Torah? He said, and Avshalom Shadron said that the Alter von Kelm said as follows. He said, this world, the Kodesh Baruch Hu created the Pasha, it's a world for 6,000 years. Right? 6,000 years. He says, imagine if the world, 6,000 years that Hashem created, would be an empty world and there'd be nobody in this world. There'd be nobody in this world. However, one Yid would come down throughout the entire 6,000 years, one Yid would come down into this world. And he would say once in his lifetime, he would say, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemoy. It's kedai to create a world for 6,000 years to be empty, in order to have one Yid come down and say one time, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemoy is kedai. This world and all the oilemas that Kodesh Baruch Hu created because of this world, everything is kedai. We have no idea the power of saying once, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemoy. And then he said, 1,000 Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemoyis don't come to one Amen. If you understood what Baruch Hu Baruch Shemoy means, 1,000 Baruch Hu Baruch Shemoy don't come to one Amen. And then he said, 1,000 Amens don't come to one word of Torah. And that was the end of the Shemuz. That was it. Said, whoever. So this is basically what the Yochai Tzadikim, without being so dramatic, they're just mentioning, like this Yerushalmi. Mentioned this Chazal. And he says, the mile of Torah, he says, Lefisha Talmud Mevi L'dei Maise. Because Torah study brings a person also to performance. And the idea is that the more a person studies also brings him to better performance. It's an endless chain. He's Makai Mitzvahs and he studies Torah. He studies Torah. Every time a person studies Torah, it purifies him and elevates him. And his Shemiras HaMitzvahs is on a higher level. It means two people put on tefillin, it's not the same. A person who puts on tefillin and he has a background of Torah and he's connected to Torah, his mitzvah tefillin is on a higher level. Or any mitzvah that a person does, if it's a person with a background with Torah study, the Maisa HaMitzvahs are much higher level. Umasha Omru, he says, and when Chazal have told us, Talmud Torah keneged kulam. He said, when Chazal say that Talmud Torah is equivalent over all the mitzvahs, right? Talmud Torah is keneged kulam. Because on the one hand, we're saying Talmud mevi l'dei maaseh. It's very important to do mitzvahs as well, we're saying. Talmud mevi l'dei maaseh. And then we say Talmud Torah keneged kulam. So he explains the following. He has this is the following insight. This is the Orchei Tzadikim's take on Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. He says, you know why Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam? He says, Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam applies to the following situation. Zahaloimit, first of all, when a person is learning, he's learning Amanas Lilmoid, right? He's studying Torah Amanas to learn, Ulalamid, and to teach, Lishmoid, to observe, Velasois, and to do, Ulakaim, to fulfill. being that a person, right, is so engrossed in Torah study, he's committed to Torah study, and because he has fixed time for learning Torah, because he's continuously learning Torah, you have a situation where a person, right, who is so steeped in Torah, that he's not able to be mekayim all mitzvahs. Now let's just qualify that. It's very important to know, Torah does not puffer you from doing mitzvahs. A person can say, you know, instead of davening, except Reb Shimon ben Yochai v'chaveiruv. But a person, we are not the madrega. We cannot say, you know, I'm going to learn, I don't have to daven. No. Zman Torah l'chud, zman tefillah l'chud. A person cannot say, you know, I'm learning, so maybe I'm potter from tefillin. I'm learning, I don't have to wear tzitzis. I'm learning, I don't have to give tzedakah. It doesn't go like that. However, the person who studies Torah, those mitzvahs, that other people are able to pursue, right? But if he's studying Torah, he's not able to pursue those mitzvahs. Not talking about mitzvahs that come to him. It comes the time to put on tefillin, he has to put on tefillin. But we're talking about doing mitzvahs which other people have the opportunity to pursue, but he's learning Torah, so he's not able to pursue all the other different mitzvahs, And, as he points out, however, but clearly when he's not learning, we see that in other words, we see this person really is committed to doing mitzvahs. The only time we see him being limited in mitzvahs is when he's studying. But when he's not studying, we clearly see that he does pursue mitzvahs. So what is he showing? He's showing Bozeh Mare, he's demonstrating Datoy Shechofez Basiyas HaMitzvah. He is showing that Bemis has a desire to do mitzvahs. But the reason he doesn't do it all the time, why not? He's not able to do it, he's anonymous, because he's studying Torah. The Rai is because when he's not studying Torah, then he is pursuing mitzvahs. So it means that when he's studying and he's not doing the mitzvahs, we know that in the back of his mind, if he would have the opportunity, he would do it. But due to his commitment to studying Torah, that's preventing him. So he's an oinus. So guess what? He gets chav for the mitzvahs as well, without actually doing him. Because the Gemara tells them, brachas, the chishav las is mitzvah, the person really wants to do a particular mitzvah, venenas, right? And an oinus takes place, and he's not able to do it. Mala olav akos of kiluyosoy. So it comes out that what? That the person who's learning gets double schar. He gets schar for his learning, and gets schar also for those mitzvahs that he could have done had he not been learning. Because he really wants to do those mitzvahs. So the Oros Talmud, the Torah can get kulam. Such a type of a person, through him, Torah is above all. Kikushu loymeid ha-mitzvah. Because when he's learning, let's say, the halachas of a mitzvah. The chofes l'kaimah. And he would want to be mekan that mitzvah. Oz yesh lo yisocha ki'ilu kaimah. He's rewarded as if he did it. Kivin shinisakev, because the only reason he was prevented, machmas kiviyosoy, because it's fixed time of learning. The nimsis that comes out, sheschar asiyah velimud biyodoy. So he gets schar both for performing mitzvahs and for learning. Because even though he didn't actually perform all those other mitzvahs, but the only reason he didn't perform because he was learning. But he really has a desire to do those mitzvahs. So now he gets schar both for the actual learning, which he's doing, and he also gets schar for the potential for the mitzvahs, right? For the mitzvahs that he could have and wanted to perform had he not been learning. But what about a person who's not really committed to learning Torah? And even when he's not learning, he's not running after mitzvahs. So now he has two downsides to him. He says, "Al nisha hoylech botel pomim rabois." But a person who many times is a hoylech botel means he idles many times. So a person who is idle many times, vo yochel lasis mitzvah, and he had opportunities to do mitzvah beis habitul. And when he was not learning, he had opportunity to do mitzvahs. He's not doing mitzvahs either. So he's not learning. He's reading newspapers. He's doing other things. And he's not interested in pursuing mitzvahs, even though he's not learning either. Or even if he is doing already the mitzvah, he's not doing it appropriately. He's not doing it to detail. He's not doing it properly. As they say, a biyotze givei. His Torah is not proper and his mitzvahs are not proper. Because he wants to do mitzvahs as well. But because he's so committed to Torah, that's what's holding him back. So he's anointed on the mitzvahs. So he gets char both for the learning and also so the Torah gives him the credit for both. It's interesting, Maisa with the Chayzim of Lublin, the Rebbe of Lublin. A Yid was making a bris, and he was Mechaber the Chayzim of Lublin, he should be Sandik. It was quite a distance away from the residence of Lublin where the Chayza lived. Nevertheless, the Chayza sent word that he'll come. will come. It was a distance to travel. And they should wait for him for the bris, because he's going to be there. Lamai said the Yom HaShmini, the eighth day of the bris came. And it's already quite a few hours in the day, and the Chayz has not arrived. They were getting very nervous. Being that the, for having the schus, even though, by the way, you know, when it comes to a bris, there's a reason magdim l'mitzvah, we try to make bris as early as possible. You know, in Mattersdorf, when the Chassam Sofer was Rav in Mattersdorf, before Preshberg, he was Rav in Mattersdorf, Chassam Sofer was a moel himself. One of the mahogim in Mattersdorf was that on the day that there was a bris, to start davening shacharis 5 minutes earlier, symbolically, in order to be able to do the bris early as possible. 5 minutes. Symbolically, to show we try to do the mitzvah, so that's the reason why Gimel Mitzvah, especially by bris, we try to do it as early as we can. As accommodations allow us to do it. We try to do it. So certainly not to delay it too late. And the Chayz hasn't arrived, and it's already afternoon. It's 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, noon. Imam Ishi came already Shkia time, you can't wait beyond Shkia. No, so, and the Chayz is not here. The Chayz is not here. So they went ahead and they did the bris without the Chayz. As fate would always have it, just when they finish the bris, the Chayz arrives. Who knows he arrives? You can imagine the Shchlisha Sadas. He didn't make it. He's here. Why should I have to do the bris? And he was very upset, and he goes to the Chayz and says, he was asking Mechila from the Chayz, that he said, look, the Chayz arrived. Had we waited maybe another 2 minutes or so, we would have been able to be Mechaba the Chayz. And the Chayz said, listen, making a mistake. He says, you realize, he says, if I would have come on time, and I would have been tzaddik, I would have had, of course, the mitzvah, the schus of being a tzaddik. You realize, whenever a yid does a mitzvah, a yid is only a boss of a dom. The mitzvah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands, right, through the chokhmah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's in a mitzvah, no human mind can certainly, right, comprehend and fathom the depth of a mitzvah. Because no one, right, has any shaykhis, right, to have any human mind to have a shaykhis to Chochmas Hashem. So we do the mitzvah according to the best of our abilities. In other words, and how great is our kavana already when we do a mitzvah? The extent of the kavana of a person, assuming he has good kavana, if he is machavim, so the kavana of a person is to the extent that a human being is able to be machavim. That's it. But to say that he's mechavim right to the fullest extent that shaykh to be mechavim, he's not shaykh. Human being has limitations. So some people have gresser hasugis, but even the gresser hasugis that a human being can have, he's still so. So there comes a gvul, where even the human being, the greatest human being, he can't go further. He's hasugis. So the point is that no human being can be mechavim a mitzvah truly perfect. Only as far as he can, the best that he can do it. But not as far as the mitzvah itself can be mekayem perfect. Now, the Gemara says, let's repeat the Gemara. If a person really wanted to do a mitzvah, venenas and an oinus happened, an accident happened, he couldn't do it. Mal all of HaKosev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him credit as if he did it. But Baruch Hu gives him credit as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu did the mitzvah. In other words, he gets credit for Hashem's mitzvah. When Hashem gives you credit, he gives you credit like Hashem knows how to do a mitzvah. So now the Yitzchak is on a much, much, much higher level. So the Chayz, if I would have done the mitzvah, he said, Sandik, he says, I would have gotten Yitzchak, he says, according to my ability. I wanted to be Sandik, I couldn't, I was anointed. So Kosh Baruch Hu is giving me credit. Kosh Baruch Hu gives credit according to his mitzvah. Okay. So now I got a greater Hasogah. My Sandik now is a Sandik B'yaynis, he says, is a much greater Hasogah. So my Yitzchak is all that much more. So that's the Nekudah of Oisai. So it goes further. Mishin is Soya Liboy. I'll say one more shtickle, then we'll go to the sheet. Time is moving on. Mishin is soil, liboy lasis mitzvah zu. A person was committed, he says, a person was committed to Torah. Well, a kaim karoyalo. And he wants to be mekayim Torah appropriately. V'liyas muhtem bekisra shel Torah. If you want to acquire the crown of Torah, well, you see achdata, he says, l'dvorim b'talim. Then a person cannot divert his mind, he says, to narishkaiten. And he says, "V'layosim eliboy," and don't think for one moment sheyikna toyre moishir v'kovid kechod. In other words, if a person thinks that he's going to have both together, and that's what he's going to pursue, yeah, maybe because Baruch can send the mashiras his way. That could happen. But a person should not look at a tachlis both toyre and a shiras kechod. Elikachi darke shul toyre, as we find, it means pasba melech toichol umayim b'mesura tishta, which means you drink water by measure. By the way, the Shlach Kodesh says in the Siddur, it doesn't mean that you have to eat pasba melech. Know what it means? If you only have pasba melech, you should still be learning. Afilik yishayin loy pasba melech. Doesn't say you have to eat pasba melech. But the Shlach Kodesh says in the Siddur, pasba melech toicha means to say, don't use Don't use that as an excuse. I don't have the comforts in life. I don't have, right? I don't have the enough pleasure in life. My food is limited. Nothing should stand in the way. He's live a life of abstaining. But use your koyach to toil and toil. But if you'll say, no, first let me amass a fortune. In other words, let me for 40, 50 years, let me amass a fortune, then I'll sit in koil. After I gather money, when I free myself from my work, then I'll go back to sitting and learning. You can't push it off. The Torah should be permanent, should be temporary. What does it mean, says Rabbeinu Yoina? People make a mistake. When it says the Torah should be permanent, it doesn't necessarily mean that you learn more hours than you work. No. Rabbeinu Yoina says a gewaldige thing. Rabbeinu Yoina says you can have a person, matter of fact, very thing he says you can have a Talmud Chochem, he says, let's say, who learns 12 hours a day, right? But when he's off from learning, he sees that the free time that he has, that somehow provides him, right, with more sipuk hanefesh, he says, than the learning. So by that kind of a person, he says, the Torah is only arai. You can have a person, let's say, who's working 8-9 hours a day, but he's waiting for the hour that he gives a Kodesh Baruch Hu, even though it's only 1 hour to learn. But that hour, he feels, that's my life. That's called Teras Chakiva. Teras Chakiva is not measured by how many hours. It's what gives you enjoyment in life. What gives you the Sipuk HaNefesh in life. That's the Teras Chakiva. The Malacha should be the Arai. Even though it's more hours. You're the Malacha more hours. But a person realizes that's not my Tafke in life. That's not my Iker in life. My Iker in life is even that 1 or 2 hours. He says that I give to Kodesh Baruch Hu. But that's my Iker. If a person feels that is his main purpose in life, then that becomes Malachtecho Arai, and the Torah is Kiva. Let's take a rabbi side the sheet a little bit. As you see time moving on, we have a few fascinating things. This is a hemshift to what we see in the topics that we have over here. Regarding Torah, regarding the Shar HaTorah, they're saying, look at number one over here, we have a shtickle from Rabbi Aaron Kotler, Sefer Mishnas Rabbi Aaron Chel Gimel. First Rabbi Aaron says like this, Rabbi Aaron says, Hine HaTorah Noisene Simcha Belev Hoisigba. Yeah, this was the attitude. Rabban said the Torah provides simcha to those who learn it. Ubemis, he says, b'chol ha-mitzvahs, who asiyah b'simcha is madrege g'doyle. B'mekayim ha-mitzvah is a madrege g'doyle doing it b'simcha. Aval b'toyre is there who me'etzim ha-mitzvah mamish. You know what Rabban says? By any other mitzvah, simcha is an added mile. But Torah says simcha is not an added mile. Simcha is part of the etzem mitzvah. Learning Torah b'simcha. That's what limud Torah is. That's me'etzem ha-mitzvah mamish. Kololiyus ha'esik b'Torah tzorech liyos b'yisroim me'mes ha-nefesh u'bar goshes ha-shira. Where a person says, this is my song in life. Therefore, he always sees new things, always as if it's fresh. There's always a freshness in his Torah. The Chola his galus, he says, "B'Torah tluy b'zeh." To see new things in Torah depends with how much cheshek you learn, which how much simcha he has. Umishi higia la madrega gevoya yoiser. The higher madrega that a person is in experiencing the simchas haTorah, misgalim lo yoyser in yoneh haTorah pinim yusam. Lo bizeichem and shemayim that they reveal to him even more Torah. So simchas haTorah is a very important tanai, is an essential tanai in terms of being zeichet to siyati the shemayim in one's learning of Torah. If you look to the left, you see number two. We just finished Yochid Sadikim, but we have a few lines of the Yochid Sadikim in Shar HaSimcha. That's also one of the shiurim of the Yochid Sadikim. And look what he says. The Yochid Sadikim says, "Kol oisa ha-mitzvahs b'simcha, yesh lo ischar elef yodois yoiser mimish ha-mitzvah olav lamasa." Okay, we're saying? A person does a mitzvah b'simcha 1,000 times more schar than a person does it as a burden. You know, you're doing the mitzvah. But if you don't do it b'simcha, he says, and somebody else does the mitzvah b'simcha, you get 1,000 times schar, more. Avraham v'David, Avraham Avinu, and David HaMelech, kol ha-yoyim kuloi ha-yoyiskim b'toyre, u'mufo'arim, u'mishabchim, b'shirois, v'sishbochus, la-kodesh baruch hu, he says, le-horim koil b'simcha. This is essential, again, to show how the cheshivas, how much quality, more quality a mitzvah is enhanced by the level of simcha. So here we have something here in the third item. It's brought down a Sefer Darkei Shulter about Hagoyen Rav Moshe Feinstein. You see some very interesting thing about Rav Moshe. Anybody down in MTJ will know this piece. I've seen it myself also. And you'll see the following. You see what he says here. HaKtoira HaKdoisha, he says, Hoyser Hatzir HaMerkazi Olovno Ma'agal Chayov Shel Hagoyen Rav Moshe Feinstein. The Torah was the central hinge that Rav Moshe's life revolved around. Okay? The Torah was the Tzir HaMerkazi. The Torah was the central hinge that Rav Moshe's life revolved around. In the Spanso Chatzi Daka, Rav Moshe had a half a minute available, then call his Isukov from the things that he was busy with. Hoy Miyad Meitzes B'Sifrei. I had a free moment, we're looking into a Sefer. You know when he put together his Talsam Tefillin? He started Mishnayis, Bopeh. Moshe put together his talis and tefillin. Be'esh yekipel es talis v'tefillin. Where Moshe would fold his talis and his tefillin, right? Be'esh lechtu brachoy. If he'd walk on the street, or be'yoshvoy bechasana, and he's waiting, you know, to the beginning of the chuppah. What do most people do? Sit and wait. Rav Moshe would chazer mishnayis. Right? He would be waiting lascholas achuppah v'kedushin. Be'chol pam, shoyer all of this asik b'mashu kal. Whenever he had to do something, ze or acher, this or that, tomid choza vishinen mishnayis balpe. He says, rega hitstarif lerega. So guess what? Guess what happens? Every minute is mistarif to another minute. It doesn't take too long, and he completes shisha sidra mishnah. So he says, why? It's mistarif. Mishnah is mistarif to mishnah, another mishnah to another mishnah. Turns into a parik, turns into a mesachta. He says, mishnah, he says, chibro le mishnah, val yedei nitzel azman, by utilizing, right, every available moment, zochol and nechse barzel, a tremendous kenyan. He was zochol to a tremendous kenyan, right? Ukamoshe heyer all of nechdoi. The einik of Moshe said as follows, zochol saba. He said, the zayda was zochol. And these were said by sporadic moments. There was no kvius. Whenever he had a free moment. Whenever. So these were like minutes that he chapped. Right? These are minutes that he chapped. Not kvius, they give minutes. Sometimes he had a free moment now, sometimes a different time. All these little mishnayis, he says, Shobehem holach baderech, or him to him, or maybe he was waiting for someone. With chaz mishnayis. It starts for elu elu, limit ze zochel esayim eskolash edu mishnah kemat, every 3/4 of a year. That's how I'm dealing with. Every 3/4 of a year, just from these extra minutes. Forget about what if you, this is another seam from all of these little things. And finally, we have here a very interesting Rabbi Sai. People on business can appreciate this. This is a limud that Rav Gifter said that he learned from. He says from a business tycoon, a CEO of a company or a big usher, and he says the following. Rav Gifter Pam Noideli, he says, Rav Gifter said, Pam Noideli al Gevir Godel, once I found out regarding a Gevir Godel, Sha'asokov Mista'afim Bechol Merchove Oilam. His businesses, right, branch out in all areas of the world. That's the kitzer. Right? He lives in America, right, but he does business with all over the world. Umerkozom Bemexico, he says, the Merkaz, he says, centrally was in Mexico. Ubikashli says Lahav Gishimah. It was a gift to like every Rosh Yeshiva. You hear about a good givir, maybe it's an opening thing, you make some money for the yeshiva. So you want to make an appointment, he wants to meet him. Kedei Lahatrimoy Abu Yeshiva tells, right, to get a truma, to get a donation for Yeshiva tells. Haloha Yatorid Basokba, this man was so busy in his business. The people were so busy in business. Bishas Lailam Ucheris Shovla Beso. He would come home very late at night. So he comes home late at night and he leaves, right, when it's still dark. So when is he home? Right? He already got up to go to his business. So now when is he going to meet him? So he says, Nikva or Beinenu, Rav Gifter says, so they were Kaveya Zaman, Pegisha, he says, Bilishchoso in his business, Bishas Boike Mugdemis, to meet me in the business had to be very, very early because he's very busy. So to meet me, to give me an appointment, it had to be very early in the morning. He says, it's falal no bashkome. We have to meet the Yosher. It's at the dam bashkome. Magdam bashkome, he says, Benosanu, when we travel to Misrodoi, he says, Bisho ha-Yehuda, in the, right, in the set-aside time, we arrived. Baram, however, guess what happened? Kashu higano le-Misrod, when we arrived to the office, Nizbarash yicharnu es-Amoyed. A little late.
right a little late. Hagvir hoy beitzuma shel sichas eizam, a telephone, right in the middle of a beitzuma shel telephone. He says sichas telephone. Boy dialono, and he was my diashu mitzdayer. He says I have a lot of. It pains me to tell you, I have a lot of shaliyuchal ipogish. You want to? We can't meet you. A very important phone call. You're late, and I'm busy. I already started business. I said telephone call. Ha telephone achshuva. He says in Paris. In Paris. Kasha see him with soichem a telephone. This is all Rav Gifter telling this experience. When he says, when this Gevir finished speaking on the telephone, so I said to him, listen, you don't have time for me, but you know what? He says, Sha'ini Roy Stav him, not I'm not coming for a donation. I'm not gonna bother you with that, but I want to ask you a question, Rav Gifter says. I want to ask you a question. And I asked the Gevir the following question. Ra'isi has based on the fire. By the way, this Gevir had a beautiful house. So he says to him, I saw your beautiful house, Bishchuna Yehudis, in the Jewish section. I want to ask you, when did you come home for that beautiful house? When did you enjoy your house? When did you come home? And when do you leave your house? Leave this biker. So halo Shiveni. So he says to him, he asked him, when do you come home at 11 o'clock at night? And he leaves 5 o'clock in the morning. I continue to ask, says Rav Gifter, so what do you need such a house? We need such a beautiful house. You don't see it when you come. You know why? Because when he comes, it's dark. When he leaves, it's dark. So in the back, you can't really see your house, he says. So, well, what do you need that house? You can't enjoy it, he says. The beautiful house is not for me. It's for my wife and my family. He's busy in the business. I was so surprised at his answer. And then the Oisha said the following words. I wanted to know, Rebbe. If you want to be able to say in business, darf liegen ganz in Kopf in the business. Rav Gifter said, I learned something about Torah also. He says, Rav Gifter, Shemati, I heard his words, Yotsose Achutsa, I went outside, Vomati, Lemalavi. I said, the person who begleited me, who escorted me. Hayoim kibalti harbe yoisem etmich kaspis. I got much more, he says, than a donation of money. I got a Musa Shemus from the Gevir. Aton is Chavali HaPerish LeBrocha. Now we know we say in the Brochas, I gained a new Pshat. The new Pshat is worth more than all the money world. Lasek B'divra Torah. What do you mean Lasek? Sorry. Torah has to be treated like a business. The Gevir said, you want to be a Maslich in business, Dafn Ligen them Gamsim Kop in the business. That's what Lasek B'divra Torah is. You want to be a Maslich in Torah, then the Kop Daf Ligen in Torah. Like Lasek, like a business. That pshat that occurred to me that I learned from him, he says, is worth all the money in the world. You have to be mami steeped completely. So this Rabbi Yisai, this is what you can learn. And this Rabbi Yisai, Shikla Achone for Kabbalah Satoire. And Shikla Shaiches of what we are able to expect and to reach in our Kabbalah Satoire and to Zoyche to Rishonat HaShemaya. Thank you.